Tak na liva uko sili bimiti nyunar na sut temang akano tara nyunar na sulita na karap no tingasi pinira hulo tamat ka inyo pinira na sita o kami kalulu pinyal khatne asizalu pinyal khatne pak nora na sita o kami inyo ukimi sumigleka nekat lenyak sok temak ngakanga neke kaktuk lenyak sok aglan wotamat ko kap yaduro teku epani itnatu nublu waktun inri yuni inyuner hat pak masi inyuba kakasi bagi yuni inyugi lokane nutat siwalung mako kanok inyuner lisakting ibrumunga itzegrama pak nalisakting unni nalulag lokat Tawo lak tu rat mako inna iknek song ni da yudu tingun ni tak kui min giliak lok tu nutan mako ilal urut ili so ti rak luit pinir sok pating ang iyo kamin anam tatamin nalulang nel
Quintet. The two trumpets are played by Robert Nagel and John Glazell. Irwin Price plays the trombone, Fred Schmidt plays the French horn, and Herbert Wechselblatt plays the tuba.
Now that you've been introduced to the brass family, I'd like to tell you something about our instruments. First, that although they are of different size and shape, they all have things in common. They're all made out of a shiny brass metal. They have a bell at one end, and a cup-shaped mouthpiece at this end. Now, in music, tones are produced by vibrations, and we make the vibrations on the brass instruments with our lips, and we go like this. Now, that might sound funny to you, but when we do that into the mouthpiece, we get the tone. Now, the tone is produced on all the instruments the same way, no matter whether it's the big tuba or the trumpet. But to get you to know the instruments better, we feel that you should always hear them. So now we're going to play for you the Suite for Brass by Johann Peitzel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, the ancestors of the brass instruments were very simple things, such as animal horns, or perhaps an elephant's tusk, or even a seashell. And they were used for purposes of signaling and communicating because they had such a loud sound. Now, let's see what a seashell must have sounded like. John? Here is a seashell with its own natural mouthpiece in the back, and it sounded like this. Now, these signaling calls, or as we call them, fanfares, later on became part of orchestral music when it developed. And we hear fanfares or signals in the orchestral pieces later on. Here's one from the Beethoven Leonore Overture. Now, you might not be familiar with that particular one, but here's one that I'm sure you all know. You all know that one?
Yeah.
That's right. It's used for the Lone Ranger, but actually it's a piece written by Rossini named William Tell Overture.
The first trumpets were well suited to this kind of call or fanfare. They had a fixed length of tubing which couldn't be changed, something like our bugle of today. The only way the player could change the note was by tightening or relaxing his lips. In this way, he was able to produce other notes which were associated with the basic note. We call these associated notes harmonics. Mr. Nagel, will you show us how they produce these notes? You see, the trumpet can produce those notes without changing the length of tubing at all. But trumpet players wanted to play even more notes than that, so they had to do something entirely different. And so valves were invented. And now, Mr. Glazel will show you how these valves work.
The valves of the trumpet work like a water faucet. When we push down the valve, it means that the air will go all around this tubing and will make a longer length of tubing so that when we play the overtones, we can play different sets of them. We can play scales when we put all the overtones together. So you see, with all of these notes, we can play many pretty melodies. When we play a melody that way, we call it legato playing. That's when one note is run right into the next one. A scale played that way sounds like this. But as you heard in the bugle calls, we can also play short notes. We call that staccato playing. And we have a little secret. A tricky little device we use called double tonguing, where all you have to do is go doo 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 doo, and it comes out. And if we have to tongue even faster than that, we call it triple tonguing, and we go doo 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 doo. So you see, with the legato and the staccato playing, the double tonguing and the triple tonguing, we really have a lot of different ways we can play on the brass instruments. We have also some other devices that we use in modern times to change the sound of the instruments. These are the mutes. This one is a straight mute. We put it in the end of the instrument and it changes the sound. Now here is the open sound. Mute, It comes out this way. Now, all of the brass instruments have mutes. The tuba mute is almost as big as a wastebasket. We have another mute that we use on the trumpet. It's sometimes called the wah-wah mute. And you will see why it's called that, because it sounds pretty much like wah-wah. Now, the trumpet, being the shortest of all of the brass instruments, can play the highest. But we can also play some low notes. That tuba player, he's always trying to get into the act. Naturally, he can play much lower notes because he's got a much larger instrument than I do. But on the trumpet, we can also play some fairly low notes. Now, there are many pieces of music written for trumpets alone. And we'd like to play now a duet written by Saint Jacome for two trumpets.
Trombone is slightly different from a trumpet. As you all know, it has a long slide. Mr. Price will tell you about the trombone.
You know, if the trumpet were all stretched out, it would be 4.5 feet long. Now, the trombone is twice that length. It's 9 feet long. Now, the trombone doesn't have any valves or keys with which to make the different notes. I have a slide, and I make the different pitches by changing the position of the slide like this. Now, in every position, I can play many different notes. These notes are called the overtones or harmonic series.